Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome on this Thursday evening to the Frank Sontag Show, a very special edition. We are here for the next hour 15, 8:15. It's Trojan basketball against the Arizona State Sun Devils. But for now, I'm grateful to be here. And tomorrow night, back per usual for my 7 o'clock Friday night program. The numbers are always 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. I'm going to begin immediately with a commentary. It's going to take me about 10 minutes to read. If you have comments about this or anything else, you're welcome to call the program. I think history is important. You may have heard the adage, history is often written by those that survive it. I'm suspicious of that tact, but one man who is a historian, amongst other things, is a man named Victor Davis Hanson. He's written a commentary entitled Life Among the Ruins. Let me read it to you. American society is facing three existential crises, not unlike those that overcame the late Roman and a millennium later terminal Byzantine empires. We are suffering an epidemic of pre-modern barbarianism. The signs, unfortunately, appear everywhere. Over 500,000 people are homeless, and they crowd our big cities, downtowns. Most know the result of such medieval street living is unhealthy, violent, and lethal for all concerned. Yet no one knows, or even seems to worry about it, how to stop it. So public defecation, urination, fornication, and injection continue unabated. Progressive urban pedestrians pass by holding their noses, averting their gazes, and accelerating the pace of their walking. The greenest generation in history allows its sidewalks to become pre-civilizational sewers. In a very brief time, we all but have destroyed the downtowns of our major cities, which will increasingly become vacant in a manner like the 6th century AD Roman Forum. All except that defunding the police, no cash bail, Soros-funded district attorneys, and radical changes in jurisprudence have destroyed deterrence. The only dividend is the unleashing of a criminal class to smash and grab, carjack, steal, burglarize, execute an assault with de facto immunity. Instead, we are sometimes lectured that looting is not a crime, but lengthy incarceration is criminally immoral. We've redefined felonies as misdemeanors warranting no punishment. Misdemeanors are now infractions that are not criminal. Infractions we treat as lifestyle choices. Normality, not criminality, is deemed criminal. We all know this will not work, but still wonder why it continues. Many among the middle classes of our cities who can flee or move do so, like 5th century equestrians who left Rome for rural fortified farms before the onslaught of the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths. For most of our lives, we were lectured that the old southern states, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, were backward and uninviting. Now even liberals often flee to them, leaving behind supposedly cosmopolitan Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Chicago, Baltimore, and yes, the Big Apple, New York. The more people leave the blue states, the more those states praise themselves as utopian. The less well-off without the means to leave hope that their environs have hit bottom, so things can only improve. The elite who caused this pre-modern catastrophe assumes they will always have the money and wherewithal to ensure that themselves and their own can navigate around or even profit from the barbarianism they unleashed. For them, the critic, not the target of criticism, is the greater threat. The hard urban work of the 1990s and early 2000s, cleaner, safer subways, secure nightlife downtown, clean sidewalks, low vacancy rates, little vagrancy, and litter-free streets, so often has been undone, deliberately so. We are descending to the late 1960s and 70s, wild streets, if we are lucky. The mayhem does not devolve even further. Victor Davis Hanson continues, a mere 10 years ago, if an American learned that a man was arrested for clubbing, robbing, or shooting innocents, and yet would be released from custody that day of his crime, he would have thought it an obscenity. Now he fears that often the criminal will not even be arrested. A once secure border no longer exists. Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas simply demolished it and allowed 6 to 7 million foreign nationals to cross illegally into the United States without audits, to the delight of their apparent constituent, President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. But what shame a Biden or a Mayorkas? What would change their minds? Billions of dollars spent on social services for the law-breaking at the expense of the American poor? Would 100,000 annual lethal overdoses, 12 times more than those who died over 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, from drugs that flow across the open border sway them? Or would it take 200,000 or 300,000 deaths before Joe Biden relented and ceased his chuckling? What does a people do when its highest officials simply renounce their oaths at office and refuse to enforce laws they don't like? Everyone knows the border will eventually have to become secure, but none have any idea whether it will take another 20, 30, or 50 million illegal entrants and 1 million more fentanyl deaths to close it. Polls show race relations have hit historic lows. Much of the ecumenicalism of the post-civil rights movement seems squandered, almost deliberately so. The left now rarely mentions Martin Luther King Jr., or even the historic Civil Rights Act of 1964. Perhaps it knows it has violated the spirit and legacy of both. Today, our identity politics leaders believe that the color of our skin, not the content of our character, certainly matters more. The practitioners of the new tribalism, in some sense, fear outlawing segregation and discrimination by race. They know to do so would end racially restricted houses and safe spaces, racially exclusive graduations, and race-based admissions, hiring, and promotion on campus. Read Professor Ibrahim X. Kendi, and his message is implicit. For him, the problem with the Jim Crow-like system was not segregation or racial chauvinism per se, but merely who was doing the victimizing and who were the victims. So the original racism was bad, but racism in reverse is good. We abhor violence, racism, and misogyny in the abstract. Yet the entire hip-hop industry would find no audience, or so we're told by its appeasers, if rappers refrain from ho, misogyny, brags of violence against law enforcement, and self-described propriety use of the, yes, the N-word. Most know that young black males under 30 commit violent crimes at well over 10 times the 3 to 4% demographic of the population, so often victimizing the non-white. All know that really must remain unmentionable, even at its causes, need to be debated and discussed if lives are to be saved. Yet the greater crime seems not the crime itself, but even mentioning crime. Postmodernism is our age, and in our age is deadlier even than pre-modernism. Sexually explicit drag shows that allowed the attendance of children 20 years ago would have been outlawed by liberals worried over the trauma of the young watching performance art simulated sex. Now the children come last and the performers first, as ratified by the same liberals. But to fathom the new transitioning, simply learn from ancient transitioning and gender dysphoria, an unhappy classical theme, is reality today. Current science is now synonymous with ideology, religion, or superstition. Lockdowns, mRNA vaccinations, masking, transgenderism, climate change, and green power brook no dissent. They're declared scientifically correct in the manner that the sun used to revolve around the earth, and any dissenting Galileo or Copernicus is cancel culture, doxed, and deplatformed. It is now verboten to cite the causes of the current upswing. We must remain silent about the classical exegesis that cults, pornography, and constructed sexual identities, when not biological, were the manifestations of a bored culture, affluence, leisure, and decadence. The classical analyses of an elite collapse focus on a falling birth rate, a scarce labor force, ubiquitous abortion, and an undermanned military and a shrinking population. We suffer all that and perhaps more still. Millions of young men are detached and ensconced in solitude, their indebted 20s, too, often consumed with video gaming, internet surfing, or consumption of porn. Many suffer from prolonged adolescence. Many assume that they are immune from criticism, given that the alternative of getting married, having children, finding a full-time job, and buying a house is society's new abnormal. Rarely has an elite society become so Victorian and yet so raunchy. A slip with an anachronistic gal or honey can get one fired. Meanwhile, grabbing one's genitals while pregnant on stage before 120 million viewers is considered a successful Super Bowl extravaganza. Our army is short of its annual recruitment by 25%. We all suspect, but do not say out loud, the cause, the stereotyping of poor and middle-class white males as both raging and biased, and yet expected yet to fight and die in misadventures in Afghanistan and Iraq, has finally convinced the parents of these 18-year-olds to say no more. Victor Davis Hanson writes in closing, need we say anything about the lack of efficacy or morality of the Department of Justice, FBI, or CIA? Or rather, is there anything the FBI will not do? Does court evidence, doctor court evidence, hire Twitter to suppress the news, monitor parents at school board meetings, allow directors to lie under oath or misremember before Congress, swiping clean subpoenaed phones, hiring fakers to compile dirt on a presidential candidate, and then using that known smear to hoodwink a judge to allow spying on Americans, suppressing evidence on a laptop to warp an election, raiding an ex-president's home with a SWAT-like team, spying on Catholics en masse, storming a home full of children of a man accused of a politically incorrect misdemeanor. The more the military has been stalemated in Iraq, humiliated in Afghanistan, and dreaded what China will soon do, or what Iran will even sooner let off, the more it insists our priorities should be diversity, equity, and inclusion. Will that escapism ensure more lethal pilots, tank commanders, and Marine Company commanders? The mindsets of too many of our new generations of command are twofold. First, to be promoted by virtue signaling woke policies that they must know eventually will hamper combat readiness, and then in the future to rotate at retirement into multimillionaire status by leveraging past expertise for defense contractors. Keep that in mind, and almost every publicly uttered nonsense from our highest in the Pentagon makes perfect sense. And then finally, under the category of them, there is a third challenge. Our enemies, illiberal, deadly, and vengeful, have concluded we are more effective critics of ourselves than they are. They enjoy our divided nation, torn apart by racial incivility, dysfunctional cities, and woke madness. Iran believes that this present generation of Americans would likely allow it to nuke Israel rather than stop its proliferation. China assumes that Taiwan is theirs, and the only rub is how to destroy or absorb it without losing too many global markets and income. Russia conjectures that the more we trumpet its impending defeat, the more it will destroy eastern Ukraine and call such a dessert peace. Our friends can be as dangerous as our enemies. A visitor from another world might conclude Mexico has done more damage to America than North Korea, Iran, and Russia combined. It has, by intent, flooded our border with 20 million illegal aliens. It's allowed cartels with Chinese help to conduct multi-billion dollar per profiteering by killing 100,000 Americans per year. Mexico drains $60 billion from its expatriates on the expectation that American subsidies will free up their cash to be sent home. The more cartels run wild, the more money trickles down. While their top drug enforcement official, Genaro Garcia Luna, was found guilty in a New York courtroom for collusion with the cartels. How did all of this so quickly erode our great country? Our crisis was not the next generation of foreign Hitlers and Stalins. It was not earthquakes, floods, or even pandemics. It was not endemic poverty and want. It was not a meager inheritance from past generations of incompetence, nor was it a dearth of natural resources or bounty. Instead, our catastrophe arose from our most highly educated, the wealthiest and most privileged in American history, with the greatest sense of self-esteem and sanctimoniousness. Sometime around the millennium, they felt their genius could change human nature and bring an end to history if only they had enough power to force, well, to follow their abstract and bankrupt theories that they had no intention of abiding by themselves. And then the few sowed the wind, and so the many now reap their whirlwind. Victor Davis Hanson. We will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, Thursday night edition on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to this, the Frank Sontag Show, a very special Thursday night edition. We're getting some inquiries in. I got a couple emails, one in particular I'll read in a moment. People wanted to know what I just read. It's called Life Among the Ruins by Victor Davis Hanson, who, among many other things, is a historian. Just Google it. You'll find it. I got an email from listener Jim. It says, wow, who are you? Jim says he's never heard the program before. For those of you that may not know, I am on regularly here on KBC, Friday nights from 7 to 9. Because of SC basketball, I was asked to come in tonight and do a short program. We're out at 8:15. For pregame, SC plays Arizona State at 8:30. And I've been in radio a few years. I've done all sorts of different talk. I started in rock and roll radio. I became a follower of Christ in 2009. I have a men's ministry called KMG Ministries. And I've been blessed to be on 790 KBC now for, I think, about 8 months. One night a week, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. If you want to find out more about me, franksontag.com is my website. Every program we've done here on KBC is up on our podcast section in its entirety. And for Jim, who just sent me the email, somehow he got the private email, which is just frank@kmgministries.com. If you would like to send me an email, it comes right to me here. Comments, questions at all. More than welcome. If you have never heard me before or you're listening to this program for the first time, I'd love to hear from you. 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. You may think, well, why would I call in? What would we talk about? Let me digress a bit. I appreciate the medium of talk radio a great deal. I think in recent times it's been, if I may say the word, bastardized a little bit. It's also a reflection of culture, this idea of cancel culture, and even having disagreements, both publicly on social media or privately, seem to be, well, frowned upon. I think disagreement can be a wonderful thing. You might be able to teach me something that I don't know and vice versa, but respectful discourse, disagreement, sometimes even in the case of debate. When have you turned into a talk radio program and heard anything such as that? I'm not here to tout my own wares, but I'm just here to tell you that I believe in freedom of speech. I think we've lost our way. I think we've given up intelligence and wisdom. There was a time when elders were seen as those just by mere chronological aging were the ones we looked to. Now we look away. My view, we're in trouble. That's why I read Victor Davis Hanson, Life Among the Ruins. Somebody may say, oh, that's so heavy. I don't want to go there. Oh, you're so intense. Well, just keep burying your head in the ground and acting like an ostrich. Meantime, we have things where it's undeniable. We live in a time where lying goes unaddressed. I'm a follower of Christ. In the Bible, it talks about in Isaiah, there'll be a day where good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. We're there. People have no conscience. And yet the masses, we tend to look away. I don't want to get involved. I just want to do my own thing. To each his own. What are we doing? A bit of good news. I don't think the masses are lemmings. I don't think we enjoy being indifferent or looking the other way. I think it may be something intrinsic in us. As a faith-based man, me, I think part of it is a three-letter word you rarely hear on the airwaves, let alone in churches. I think it has to do with our sin nature. Oh, my gosh, you said that three-letter word. I'm so appalled. I'm so offended. I'm a sinner, saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. There was a time in my life I was a New Age teacher. LA Times called me a guru. If I would have heard those words out of somebody's mouth, I would have winced. If it was on the radio, I would have changed the channel. But I'm just here to tell you this. We live in a time like never before. I hope and pray you believe in, I don't want to say a God. There is truth with a capital T. But you know something's amiss here. Just look around. We've lost our way. Where are things like courage and honor and duty? Where is manhood typified in our world? We're the people that are heroes that go the extra mile. The Bible talks about no greater love hath he than a friend who would be willing to lay his life down for another. I don't want to sound narcissistic. I don't want to sound negative. But I fear, as Pogo once said, I've seen the enemy and he is me. We live in a culture that is self-centered, self-deluded. It's all about the worship of self. We've reimagined God in our own image and not the other way around. We strive to be our own gods. And yet I'm a logical, rational guy. How's that going? Look around. Things going well for you and in your community and in this wonderful state? I'm being a bit satirical here when I say wonderful state. Not a fan of what goes on in Sacramento. In fact, appalled by the lying that goes on there. Here's one of many positions. I'll share this and break, and we'll come back. We'll take calls, and I've got other stories. You may be hearing about the next deluge that will be upon us shortly. And yet we live in a state where the powers that be in the authority structure keeps the mantra going of, we live in severe drought conditions. Give me a break. You want to talk about a lie. There's no collective will in Sacramento to house any of this water. Just all gets washed out to sea, and the authority says, stop watering your lawn, turn off your gas, drive an electric vehicle. The end is near. Global warming is real. These are the same fools that have been lying to us for decades. And, you know, ultimately the onus is on us if we believe it. Very last point, to be very transparent, I believed it in the 80s. I was a 20-something that bought into the world was ending. I became a radical environmentalist. I bought all of this stuff hook, line, and sinker. I went to demonstrations. I did things that, well, I shouldn't talk about on the air to trying to stop the madness. Save Mother Earth. And we were the problem. The human beings are the problem. I thought it was part of it was our diet. I became a vegan and a vegetarian. Oh, don't hurt the poor little animals. We're the problem. We human beings, we're just awful. And then a couple of decades later, I had an encounter with the risen Savior, and I realized, oh my gosh, I opened a book I never read before called the Holy Bible. And all of a sudden, everything kind of made sense. And you can judge me any way you want. Jesus freak, Bible thumper, lost, weak because I need God. Hey, I would have been there, done that. I gave my life to the Lord at 54, so I get it. But here's what I want to tell you. There is a God, and he's not missing anything. And the Bible talks about he's going to come back and not give out free hugs. We talk about God is love. Everybody's going to heaven. Okay. In the meantime, isn't there a part of you that just yearns in some way, shape, or form when you see wrong out there that there's some form of justice? Well, you can forget it. People in positions of authority now, boy, they're off and running with their agendas. But it is still we the people. A lot more of us than there are of them. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Phone lines are wide open to you. And we will continue with this very special Thursday evening edition of the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to this, the Frank Sontag Show. Our phone numbers are always 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. The phone lines are open. You're welcome to call in and ask anything, talk about an issue in the news or whatever it is. 800-222-KABC. Let's talk to George in Los Angeles. George, you're on 790 KABC. Thank you for calling.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Frank?
I sure can.
Can you hear me?
Three times.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
This is the first time I've heard you, and I really enjoy your program. I'd like to know, I really like Donald Trump. I like his views. I like that he's a fighter, and he stands up for a lot of the things on the right that should be stood up for. I'd like to know what your views are. I this is the first time I've heard you, so I don't really kind of know. But I'd like to know what you think about Donald Trump and his policies on the border, immigration, dealing with the world, and his rebellion against the Biden administration.
I will give you a comment or two. I'm glad you found the program. You're welcome to listen. I'm on usually Friday nights from 7 to 9. As a policymaker, I think what former President Donald Trump did in 4 years with the amount of antagonism that he fought through, he did an amazing job. I think a lot of his policies I support 100%. And that being said, I think his own worst enemy is his own mouth. I think sometimes he tends to be braggart. There is a little bit of idolatry around him. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a faith-based man. I think what we have in the world are not political problems. They're spiritual problems. And I don't look to Donald Trump as the second coming. But that being said, in terms of policies, you see what we have now in the first 2 years. This is abhorrent. So if someone was to say what you thought of him, what I think of him, I appreciate most of what he's done for the country. And we will see what happens between now and the next presidential campaign. I appreciate your call. Thank you, George. Kim is in La Habra. Kim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hi, Kim.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I am just so frustrated with everything that's going on. And I like to listen to the news, and I feel like I need to stay informed. But I'm driving myself crazy because I can't stand everything that's going on. Any suggestions?
Yeah, yep. Stop listening or stop watching or reading the news.
But how you need to be prepared for what's coming at you.
How does the news, I'm not being antagonistic, but I just, let's have a conversation. How is the news preparing you for anything?
Well, what they're going to throw at us, what they're, you know, what they're going to take away or what's going to go up and how to invest. And so I need to pay attention.
Yeah. I couldn't disagree more. I was in that mindset for many years. I was a news director for a while. But my view now is most of the mainstream media is propaganda. It's fear-based. It wants to terrify the public so those in positions of authority can maintain and attain more power. And we live in an information age. You can go on the internet and find, you know, information about anything. I would say stop reading, listening, or watching the news and start becoming your own newswoman and digging into information and articles online. I have no problem accessing a different view than what I hear mostly in the mainstream. And the last thing I'll say, you are to be commended. I know your heart is well-intended, that you want to be informed. You want to keep up to date on the latest. But the day and age of the journalist as once that I fell in love with probably 30 years ago is long gone. Just watch the White House press secretary next time. That should be enough. Kim, I'm glad you called. You're welcome to call another time. Thank you for listening to this radio program and 790 KABC. Sean, or it says Ryan. Oh, Ryan's probably your first name. Ryan, you're on KABC. Thank you for calling the Frank Sontag Show. Hi, Ryan. Are you there, Ryan?
Yes, hello. This is Ryan. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. My question was regarding Life Among Ruin that Hansen wrote. And you had mentioned all these problems and how all these people were burying their heads in the sand about it on our side. And I'm wondering, for those of us who are aware, when does it become our obligation to pursue solutions outside of the political system? Because I think if you wanted to do that, it would require a massive public mobilization, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think it would. I think we tend to, and we get bombarded with, I don't mean to use the propaganda word, but we hear constantly, well, I'm only one person. There, history has recorded many individuals change the world, and I don't mean that in kind of a glamorous sort of way. When is the time? The time is right now. And yes, it would be nice if we can mobilize and garner large groups of people together. But here's the truth. It really only takes maybe 1% of the population to band together actively and work in unison. And I can cite sources historically where literally it was about 1% of the entire population. I thank you for the call, Ryan. By the way, if you want to email me and want to follow up with something that you heard on the air, you can email me at frank@kmgministries.com. I do not say things in an idealistic sort of way. In my days of the New Age, if you don't know what New Age is kind of, oh, spiritual but not religious, truth in all religions, God loves everybody. I was a part of that movement as a leader for 21 years. And I got radically saved in 2009 at the age of 54. By the way, Paula Northridge, stay there. I'm going to take you before the break. Give me a minute. So I know all about the positive thinking. I taught such things. So I'm not saying anything like somehow to just play tricks with your mind. I think attitude is everything. I think the only behavior you can change is your own. There are certain things that I adhere to. Optimism versus pessimism, yes. But when you talk about God's plan for your life, God made no mistakes. Every human being on this planet was made uniquely in the image of God with gifts, talents. There's nobody in this world like you. And the tragedy is because it takes a little oomph, it takes a little guts, it takes a little fortitude to lean into your plan. You may want to get out of your comfort zone and take a risk. Once you start getting into that plan, if you will, God's purpose and plan for your life, I don't say this symbolically. You can move mountains. You can change communities. Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the greatest force in this world. A large percentage of us don't tend to use the L word in action. If more of us did that, practice it in our own personal lives, you'd be amazed how much change you would enact. Paul is in Northridge. Paul, you're on 790 KABC. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Frank. It's nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
You had a previous caller, and she talked about herself kind of being a news junkie. Well, I used to be an MSNBC and CNN junkie, and I was brainwashed by the left. Then with my job, being in my car all the time, I started listening to conservative radio, and I started watching Fox News as well as the local news and Newsmax and some of the more conservative networks. You made a comment about being able to find information anywhere online. I disagree with you because you know what? If you Google the word woke, which Google is a woke company, you're not going to get a straight answer. You're going to get a very skewed definition.
Well, then maybe use something else to search other than Google. Be resourceful. Don't be a lemming, for goodness gracious sakes alive. Don't minimize. I mean, we still live in a time of the information age where, I mean, I'm sitting here, I've got 9 news stories in front of me that are far from the mainstream. They're all credible sources. I'm not a very smart guy. It didn't take me a lot of wherewithal to find the stories. So if I can find them, anybody can find them. Speechless. Okay, thank you for the call. We're going to move on. 800-222-5222. Yeah, I can. The mainstream, and I was listening to all those lefties, CNN, and all. Yeah, I don't think the right necessarily is the answer either. Maybe we'll talk about Tucker Carlson on the other side and what he's going through right now, because he had the audacity to play those videotapes. Oh, my goodness. All right. 800-222-5222. Look at the board. We got calls. 800-222-KABC. You're welcome to call. Share your thoughts. More of the Frank Sontag Show next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. In about 30 minutes or so, we will transition to USC basketball. They're playing Arizona State. 8:15 is pregame, 8:30 is the game. I am sitting in tonight. This is a special broadcast of the Frank Sontag Show. Normally, we're here every Friday evening from 7 until 9 p.m. I love that we're getting a lot of calls tonight. I thought, I've not really done Thursday nights here. Friday nights, we usually have a full board, but many of you are really receptive to at least calling in or sending me emails. Of the eight emails I've gotten, seven are complimentary. One is just some guy that just does not like me. And I understand. I've done talk radio for 36 years. I get it. If I'm here to want and need everybody to like me, I'm in the wrong business. You know, the Bible talks about beware of the praise of the crowd. So I got that one loud and clear. But believe it or not, everything I say, I absolutely mean and believe. And I am not beyond changing my mind. At least in terms of issues of life. Spiritually speaking, that's another story because I follow the Holy Bible. In fact, let's talk to Dennis in San Pedro. Dennis, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Frank. Great to talk to you here. And that was a perfect lead-in for my question. First of all, I was pleasantly surprised to hear you back on the radio. I think the last time I had heard you before, like the last few months, was in the 90s. Was it with the KLOS?
It sure was. I was there 27 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's it. So I appreciate your perspective then, and I appreciate it now. So my question is, I've been hearing you talk about your faith and where you've come from, and my question is, was it a series of events, or was it something that happened, or what led to you to have the outlook you have now?
Let me respond in a couple of ways. First of all, if you've not gone to my website, franksontag.com, that'll kind of give you an idea of where I'm at now. I did write a book a number of years ago with everything that you asked me is all in my book. I'm not pushing my book. I don't really care to sell another copy, but I wrote the book specifically to answer that question. And don't get it anywhere but on my website, because Amazon, I don't want to get into that. So my book is called Light the Way Home. To answer your question directly, gotcha. It was both. It was a series of events and also one specific incident in my life that turned my life upside down.
Wow.
Tell me more, Frank. Well, yeah. Let me.
I'm definitely checking your website and getting the book.
Yeah.
But if you could.
I'll elaborate a little bit. So I fell into the new age when I was on KLOS. I started there in 1985. I took over a couple of talk shows. I did a late night Sunday night, an early Sunday morning show, spiritual but not religious. I became a new age teacher. I was on the morning show with a couple of guys, Mark and Brian. I did news and sports. I was at KLOS for 27 years. In 2009, I had an incident in my life that just literally will change the direction of my life. And before I get into that, I'll say the previous. In June of 1984, I was in a very serious motorcycle accident. And that caused me to reassess my life. And for 20-some years, I ran from God. I played the spiritual but not religious trip. And there were a lot of events that happened in the time between 1984 and 2009. And I did everything I could to pour it into the book because I wanted to make sure there was a public record of what can happen to someone's life that says yes to the God of the universe? And I would have never, Dennis, in a million years, I would have never, ever, ever, ever thought I would be publicly stating I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, let alone privately, that would be my faith. I was raised in Catholicism. I walked away in high school, said I'd never go back to church. 37 years, I would not step inside a church. And again, I don't mean to sound aloof or mysterious here, but to explain what happened to me in 2009 in 2 or 3 minutes on the air would not do it justice. And that's why I wrote the book. Also, I hope and pray that you would maybe get on my mailing list at the very least. You can find out more about my ministry and what I do. And do you listen to KABC? How did you find us tonight?
Yes, I'm on my commute going home. So, yeah, I do listen to KABC. It's kind of in the center from some of the alternatives. So I like to hear different angles of things.
So not that it's self-serving, but I'm really interested. So if you've not heard me since the 90s, I would imagine hearing me tonight is probably like, wow, what happened to him? Or maybe not.
Well, actually, we'll see. That's it. Actually, I've heard your show a handful of times since you've been on KABC.
I see.
And I heard you on tonight. It was a different time, and especially hearing that last caller, it had been something that I've been passively thinking about the last few times I've heard you. I was like, I wonder what his story is. And I know you've mentioned the website, and it's just a matter of me when I get home checking it out, and I'm definitely interested.
Well, send me an email. I'd like to maybe follow up with you. And just to state in conclusion of this moment, my passion now in life is men. I have a men's ministry. I think the greatest crisis in our country is men not being men. And about 8 years ago, I started a ministry. And I'll tell you, I mean, we live in a time where fatherlessness is accepted as normal. We're raising kids without a father in the home. Masculinity is under attack. We live at a time where the idea of two genders is even questioned. I mean, there's so much, so much wrong here. And so that's where my heart is right now in this season in my life is, and I'm there too. You know, we have something called father wounds. I'm sure you've heard a little bit about. Most of us didn't have either a dad in the home or he was not available. So we grew up with these wounds. And in my faith, I think the greatest missing link is to show men, and it's true for women too, any woman listening right now, there is a God in heaven that adores you as you are his beloved daughter, and we are his beloved sons. And when you develop a relationship with God the Father, it is a game changer in this life. And so that's my hope and prayer for anyone listening right now. Forget the politics, forget my outspokenness. There is a God in heaven, a creator of the universe that loves you as his son or daughter, but doesn't want to necessarily keep you the way you are. So that's something that's deeply on my heart. I'm glad you called, Dennis. I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Definitely. This is great stuff, and I appreciate your time very much.
I appreciate yours as well. Thanks for calling. Bobby in Santa Monica has a question. Bobby, hang on. I want to get you on the other side. You'll be the first call. I literally have a minute before I have to break, and I don't want to just take you on the air like for 20 seconds and move on, because your question is very valid. So Bobby in Santa Monica, hang on. If you are listening and would like to call in, this is the time to call. 800-222-5222. We have one more segment. At 8:15, we sign off. It's Trojan basketball then. So we're going to have one full segment on the other side of the top of the hour. And if you want to call, we have open lines, 800-222-KABC. I also want to get into, if time allots, I want to talk a little bit about January 6th, the Tucker Carlson thing. And there's a great push in New York The New York Police Department wants businesses to start requiring customers to remove their masks. We'll talk about that and much more. Phone calls are welcome, 800-222-5222. You can find out more about this program. If you miss any of it, our podcast is always up at franksontag.com. Thank you for listening to the one and only, the first talk radio station, Talk Radio 790 KABC.